So I only have one MOS. My MOS is 74 Delta. It as I joined, it was a 54 Bravo NBC specialist. And then a couple years later, it changed over to the 74 Delta Seaburn.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and this is Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by Sergeant Major Maria Lepe. You are at Joint Force Headquarters, Counter Drug, used to be at the 420th as a Sergeant Major there. She's here to share her Guard story, kind of pass along some little bit of advice to Guardsmen that she's learned along the way. And really, we're excited. We've been trying to get you on the podcast for quite a while, I feel like. So back when you're still First Sergeant Lepe. So
yes.
So intro and background yourself.
Background. Okay, so I joined the Guard when I was 17, so just fresh out of high school. The Grandview Armory is located just in front of some softball fields, and I was just getting out of practice, waiting to get picked up, and I wandered on into that building. There was a sign that said there was free benefits and life insurance and free school. And it was just a time of everybody was joining to do their part. And I thought, there's a reason I'm here. So I buzzed the button and a recruiter came out.
How wild. You just walk right up.
Yeah.
Good placement, yeah. Though, right by the softball field.
Yeah, seriously. So, yeah, he gave me a packet. I took it home and my parents were like, do whatever. Whatever you want, whatever feels good to you.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Who was your recruiter?
Oh, Staff Sergeant Young.
And definitely not still recruiting, I imagine, at this point.
No, so. Not at all. No.
So what was your, we'll get into it. So after that, you know, what did you end up doing when you first got in the Guard?
So I only have one MOS. My MOS is 74 Delta. It, as I joined, it was a 54 Bravo NBC specialist. And then a couple years later, it changed over to the 74 Delta Seaburn.
Yeah. So I always like to ask the question how you learned about the Guard, but it sounds like it was right there in front of you when you came out of softball practice.
Yeah.
And that's how you learned about the Guard.
Exactly.
So what prompted you just walk over to the recruiting station one day and just be like, hey, why not?
It just made sense. I don't know. It was there. The advertisement was there. The timing was good. I was a senior, and I didn't really want to go straight into college, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. All the signs just pointed in, like my heart just kind of followed.
Yeah. And what year was this?
2002.
So you joined same year I did. Mm-hmm. I was a high school senior, had just graduated, and was like, you know what? I have no clue what I'm going to do except go to college and had no clue how to pay for it. And that, I think, was the biggest piece for me. So
okay.
Talk about kind of after joining, you know, what happened next?
So 4 months later, I shipped off to basic and AIT. I did the OSUT program, so back-to-back, and came back. And then I decided I did want to go to school. It was a culture shock for me because I grew up in a small town, and going to a whole nother state, meeting people from different states, different backgrounds, was definitely a life changer. And I loved that opportunity that the Guard gave me. So I came back, went to school, and worked with my unit as much as I could.
Yeah. No, all good. All good.
It just worked out.
So now you're counter drug. You've been a counter drug for how long?
I'm on year four with
year
counter
four.
Drug.
How do you enjoy it?
I love working for counter drug, and yes. I'm not saying that just because currently I'm working there, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm not being held here saying I have to, like, no, it's legitimately a great mission. And for those that don't know, the counter drug mission in Washington, it really emphasizes reduction of, you know, really trying to help law enforcement get illegal narcotics, opioids, fentanyl off the streets and help save lives.
Yeah, absolutely. We provide training and education that's military focused to the law enforcement community, and therefore assisting them in taking down a lot of the narcotic operations that exist. And I find that satisfying because I have kids. I have a bunch of kids, and I think that anything I can do to get to help in that, in the war against counter narcotics, is me doing my part.
Yeah. What's your role there at Counter Drug?
Currently, I'm the NCOIC of operations. Yeah. I started off as an instructor. So I was in the, because of my background as a Seaborn specialist, I started off with the illicit substance team. I did that for a couple of years. And then as a couple of the operations sergeant majors retired, I went in and I slid into that slot. And so currently my role is to help the agencies and our instructors. I bridge that gap of helping them request training and then schedule training. And so I'm in the background with my team, and it's great because we try to make it as easy as possible for law enforcement agencies to get that training that they need.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a critical mission. It's a fantastic mission. I think it all kind of gets hidden behind the scenes a little bit, where it's like the public facing is obviously the police, because they're the ones doing the job, and we're mm-hmm. kind of behind the scenes helping them do that job with training, with resources they may not have available. So,
and
you've already mentioned it, your background is Seaborn. The fact that you're a sergeant major and you only have one MOS is phenomenally crazy, because when I talk to a lot of sergeant majors, they're like, oh, I've got like, I'm 11 Bravo, and then I'm a 19, and then I went to this school, and then I went to that school. Mm-hmm. What kept you only as a 74 series?
That's a good question. There's a lot of opportunity for growth within the Seaborn world. Not to say that I didn't struggle just like the next E4, right? Or the next, you know, junior ranking. So I tell my juniors that it's okay if maybe you didn't make it on the promotion board, this time. What do you learn from that? What do you have to do to be more competitive? So I was a specialist until year 8. So there's some of our younger, you know, junior ranks that are like, they're year 4 and they're already looking to get promoted and get a little bit brought down because they're not getting promoted. Something I learned in the second half of my first contract was, what am I doing? Like, I hadn't finished my degree. I started school, but I hadn't finished it. What else am I doing? Am I going to other schools to be more experienced, more knowledgeable? Once I got promoted to E5, it was a little bit easier because I also had my eye more on the ball on what I could do to become more competitive and more experienced in the Guard. So for a few years, I worked with the Honor Guard program in the Tri-Cities. Mm-hmm. A team member.
Yeah.
Right. I was not on ADOS. I just started off getting paid basically what people mostly know as RMPs.
Yeah.
So I'd go in, train, go out and do a funeral, and then I made it up to team leader. And then after team leader, then I was the area coordinator for the Central Washington. And then I took a break. I left the program in 2013 because I had finally finished my degree, my AA. And then I was like, I want to go for that bachelor's. I'm on a roll. And so I left the program so I could fully invest my time for that degree, because I also knew that in order to develop my career, I also needed more education, because what makes me more competitive, right? Yeah. Making sure I'm available for schools, making sure that I'm fit to go to these schools, and more education, more civilian education, as well as military education.
You highlighted the fact that you don't need to always have another MOS to remain competitive. You just have to be willing to go to schools and do things mm-hmm. to make yourself competitive. They don't require going to an MOS school. Mm-hmm. So spent majority of your career, obviously, at the 420th Chemical Battalion. Mm-hmm. Talk about your time there. It ultimately led all the way up to becoming the sergeant major of the battalion.
Mm-hmm.
Spending your entire career probably mostly in the battalion as well until
Absolutely.
Then. So talk about that.
Yeah. So I started off with 790th that no longer exists. Then I went over to 792nd. Somewhere in there, I did make it on a deployment with the 81st in 2008. That's when the state was really mm-hmm. pulling for people to deploy. So I had that opportunity to deploy with the 81st. But then as soon as my deployment was over, I was able to go back home, back to 792nd. Then I had the opportunity to go over to 540th Chemical Detachment. They do a lot of Seaborn Cell advising, and they work very closely with First Corps. So I had that opportunity as a E7 to go and work with them. Spent a couple years there. And then, I just go wherever I'm needed, where I was called to. And that was an opportunity given to me by a former Sergeant Major. And I took it. I was like, yeah, like, where do you need me? I'll go.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there also is when then COVID started, came around, and I got a call and like, hey, can you come and can you be on orders like in the next 12 hours? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, that's where you need me. That's where I'll go. And so I did. So I served as an NCIC for multiple teams. And let me backtrack a little bit just to come back to the battalion, right? So I was in 540th, was on orders with the state for the COVID response. And then first year competing as an E8, submitted my packet. And because I had done all the things that I thought were keeping me competitive, staying fit, military education, civilian education, going to where the Guard asked me to go, which was to be an NCIC at 540th, I was able to get promoted to E8 and become the first sergeant of HHC. So I will say that even though HHCs are small, they are...
They're good. They're a low key. I don't think people realize how important that position actually can be.
Yeah, and it can be a little challenging too, because you have your little company, but you also have the staff that you have to help take care of. And me coming from a line unit for such a long time, like that's I just knew the order of ranks, right? You have your first sergeant, your commander, your platoon sergeants, but going over to an HHC as a first sergeant and be able to balance that with the staff was it definitely was challenging. But then as soon as I understood how that worked, it was the best. Like they do so many good things at headquarters for the companies. So that was my time as the first sergeant. Then I had the opportunity to go to jump over into operations. I needed more operations time. So I asked the sergeant major of the battalion then. I said, hey, can I go to operations so that I can learn more? Like I got it, got the taking care of soldiers, working together with staff. How do I become more well-rounded? Let me go and be a master sergeant again, learn more about operations. And so then I had that opportunity. Then I was fortunate enough that I was able to compete once again. So I submitted a packet and my packet was reviewed and I was very blessed to have the opportunity then to take over the battalion and just move up a level.
Yeah. I was a second lieutenant in the 341st. I was able to go from, you know, platoon leader to XO to I ended up coming back for a second company command in 341st. I was the S3 there. And then ultimately my last position there was the G2X that got me to lieutenant colonel. So I grew up in a battalion very similar to what you did. For me, it was almost the day that it ends where you're no longer going to put that patch on or that you're not in that unit. It's almost, you look back and you're like, wow, like that's a long time. It's probably the same for you at the 420th, having grown up there and getting all the way to the end where it's like, this is your last position and this is as high as you're going to go here. Talk about that.
I guess when I found out that I was leaving the battalion, I knew it was coming, but it hadn't fully sunk in until I got the call that it was time. And it was a bittersweet moment just because I knew I've always had that mindset of send me where I need to go. But it was my entire family, my life, 20 years of my career. I guess if I'm more exact, 22 years of my career were there.
Yeah. Knowing where you're going every drill pretty much, who you're going to be drilling with. Yeah. That's crazy. It's crazy to say that sometimes when you think about that.
Yeah, I could go down to the battalion and visit the Seaborn units, right? And I could say like I was here. Like this is where I drilled. This was my classroom. I came in as a PV1. Yeah. And having those conversations and often I would have soldiers ask me that like how do I get to where you're at? And so we would talk about like just the different experiences and just being open to provide yourself as a resource to your company, to your battalion, to your state, and to the people, and to the community.
Yeah. So you're kind of leading into my next question already. And I always like to give sergeant majors and chiefs, you know, from the Air National Guard the same question. Because I think for the enlisted side, you guys provide a wealth of knowledge, especially you just said right there. You came from E1 at 17 years old and is an E9 now. What is advice that you would give that next generation of leaders and soldiers coming in?
Funny that you say that. So I often, throughout my career, would remind myself to just hang in there because times will change. They won't always be gloomy. Sometimes I remember going to drill and sitting in, and everybody I think can relate, sitting in that SRP line waiting to go through dental. And an hour and a half later, you're still waiting in line just to go through dental. And I would remind myself, like, just hang in there. Like, it's just once a year. And then as I went into a first sergeant position, into the current position, it's like, now it's more of the lens of, like, what can I do to make it better? Mm-hmm. How can I advise to make this more smooth? How can I help the people around me, given the experience that I've gone through? And so, again, I guess, hang in there, right? Yeah. Is always a good reminder. Like, it's gonna change, and you can be the change. You can provide that change if you don't like what's happening.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned already, you'd always have conversations with the lower enlisted folks. What were some of the things you'd tell them, especially even the chemical field? You know, what are the things that you would pass along to them?
Just learn your MOS. Learn. Try to. I guess I kind of said a little bit ago was make yourself available when there's training opportunities for you to go and learn more about your MOS. Like, do it. Take the opportunity. And sometimes it could be online training, and it could be training that could feel monotonous. But if you just take the opportunity to learn at least one thing in that monotonous amount of slideshow or presentation that you're learning, you've already put something new in your toolkit that you can take forward. And then using it, right? Using the, like, learn about it, teach someone about it, talk to someone about what you learn, and then it, like, reinforces that knowledge for you to carry forward.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic advice. We're kind of coming to that. Anything else that we haven't touched on you want to mention at all? Or I know you're always like, you're like, no, I don't want to do this. And then you finally agreed to do the podcast with us. So.
Yeah, I wasn't avoiding you. I absolutely want people to know that it's time flies. And as long as you're finding reasons to enjoy what you're doing, I always look forward when I was younger, and as I got older, I found reasons to go to drill, whether it was to see my friend that I hadn't seen in 30 days and catch up on stuff. Not that drill is just a hangout, but it's always so nice when my friend is coming from Spokane or from the West Side. And so finding reasons to go to drill and make it worth your while, and then learning, and then taking that back to your family. Like, this is what I did at drill. It was great. Like, I drove around in a Humvee. I drove to Idaho, and it was great. Like, I convoyed. And those are opportunities that I found that you don't always get. Like, I've had 23 years, right? 23 years of all these opportunities, and some of our younger soldiers have never left their community.
Yeah.
And so, just taking advantage of those beautiful moments.
Yeah, like myself, I've 2002, so almost 24 years in the Guard, and it has been, there's so much that comes with being in the Guard that I think we never always touch on, or we always forget, right? Mm-hmm. After a while, you kind of forget, like, all the fun things you've done, so I appreciate you sharing your story, and obviously, you're a phenomenal Sergeant Major. I've worked with you a ton, both in Counter Drug, at 420th, and kind of all your spots, and I've always enjoyed working with Maria, so
awesome. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on. If you like the video, give it a like. If you want to know more about the 420th, about Counter Drug, throw a comment in the questions and the notes. We'll pass those on. Subscribe for future videos, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.